Hello and welcome to the Project Love podcast. I'm Selina Barker.
And I'm Vicky Pavitt. In these podcasts, we explore what it takes to create a life, relationship and career you love.
And not just one that looks good on the outside, but one that feels good on the inside.
I am here today with our very special guest, Pandora Symes. Welcome, Pandora.
Hello.
Thank you so much for joining me. So Pandora and I caught up a few weeks ago and I was so fascinated with the work that she does that I invited her onto the show so we could talk in depth about it all. So Pandora is, and you can stop me at any point if I'm not saying it right, but as far as I can tell, you are a holistic nutritionist and you are founder of Rooted London. You are trained in so many things. So amongst them, nutrition, intuitive eating, life coaching, yoga, Reiki, energy work, body work, and meditation. Is that right? Have I missed anything on that list?
That's it.
Amazing. Yeah. And you bring it all together to provide what seems to be just a beautifully holistic and unique approach to wellness. And reading directly from your about page, you're a big believer in listening to your body and feeding your soul. And you believe optimum health starts with loving yourself, your body, and your mind.
Yes.
Yeah.
So self-love.
Yeah, exactly. So let's just dive in. What I'd love to hear first, to kind of get into all of this, is how this journey began for you, because I know it began quite a few years ago. But yeah, just tell us a bit about your story.
So it's very much a personal one. I had a really bad relationship with my body. Mm. I was always sort of a little bit curvier than the other girls at school. I always used to hate my bum because it sticked out. And, you know, I remember my mum saying to me, when you're older, darling, you will love that big bum of yours. And I do now, at my age of 32. But I think, you know, having that from a very young age, it sort of led me to eating disorders, very much sort of, you know, starving myself, binging, oh, I've eaten too much, I think I need to throw up. And just this really uncontrolling, it was almost like my brain was so not in control. Mm. I was just clasping, trying to, you know, gain some control somewhere. And over the course of years, I then got into health and fitness and in quite a big way. Mm. But actually, that was probably, you know, looking back, sort of when I was at my worst, because whilst on the surface, you know, I was like a duck on water, you know, I looked like I was sort of in this perfect lifestyle and I was really healthy. But underneath, I was counting calories still and making sure that, oh God, you know, I'm not going to make time to go to the gym today, so I'm going to have to,
the cat has joined us.
You know, I'm going to have to make sure I walk to work, and everything was sort of counting, control.
Controlling, yeah.
And I suppose, you know, just training to be a nutritionist, I think, was probably the start of everything. Mm. I'd always sort of picked up Vogue and Zest magazine, and I was equally interested in both, you know, loved fashion and beauty, but also loved health. And then sort of training as in nutrition, I sort of understood, and the first year is biomedicine, so you learn about every single system in the body in quite a lot of depth. And I was just bowled over by my body and like how it keeps me alive in such intricate ways.
You fell in love with your body.
Yeah, and I was just like, this is incredible. Like, God, my liver does that, you know, on a daily basis. I mean, let alone on an hourly basis, you know. And I think that just really made me think about the quality of the relationship that I had with my body and the respect I needed to start giving myself and my vessel, I suppose. And then actually it was sort of interesting having, you know, worked in the wellness world on the PR front.
Yeah.
I also understood sort of the idea of this sort of marketing and how we market brands and sort of working in wellness. I was a bit like, why are we, you know, hailing kale and why are we talking about this as it's like a, you know, fad trend? Hang on a minute. This is so confusing.
Yeah.
Actually, isn't it about, you know, what works for us and really sort of trusting our internal dialogue?
Yeah.
You know, when your body's saying something, you listen to it and it gives you that advice. It's like, okay, I need this medicine. So I started looking into intuitive eating, and there's a book written by two women, in America.
Yeah.
And I really sort of really understood a lot of what they were saying. Mm. And it really made a lot of sense
really
to me.
Really resonated, yeah.
And so that, with sort of this idea of this self-love, I was like, I'm going to start bringing this together. And that's it. That was sort of the start of my path into eating and living intuitively. So whilst intuitive eating, sort of the book is very much eating, I was like, but actually we really need to be living intuitively as well. So, you know, looking at our mind health and looking at, you know, how we allow our intuition to sort of guide us on in everything. And that's not to say that we shouldn't be thinking about a more, you know, methodical way of choosing, you know, things and making decisions, because I think that is also important, certainly in the modern world,
educating ourselves.
Yes.
And yeah,
but I do think we are very much sort of led by science sometimes and this sort of methodical way of thinking, and actually, you know, we do need to allow our intuition to sort of guide us sometimes as well.
Yeah,
so it's, you know, having that really nice healthy mix of the two.
Oh, great. Well, we'll get into the topic of intuition in a moment. But so interesting to hear your story then. So actually it was part of that kind of, it sounds like it was part of your, that desire to kind of control and understand and, you know, get a control of your body that led you into nutrition. But in doing so, it kind of awakened this love for your body and a whole new respect for it. And of course, then the transformational power of self-love. It's it's interesting, self-love, isn't it? Because we hear it all the time, you know, it's such a buzzword. Everyone's like, yeah, I know self-love, you're supposed to do self-love thing. But when you actually get it and you actually experience it, it is so transformational, isn't it?
Yeah.
And is that, so when you work with people, is that, talk to me a bit about how you work with them around self-love.
So, I mean, people can come to me, you know, as a general nutritionist, so I might be there to treat, you know, fertility or polycystic ovaries or PMS.
Oh, really?
But, you know, that in itself, whilst I will guide them to eat the right foods in order to make them better or make them feel better, I will always bring in this idea of self-love. Well, how are you looking after yourself? Is there anything else? And that's actually where the life coaching comes in, because you might sit down and I you know, instinctively will know that there's something going on, and I can advise you on what foods to eat. But if that relationship with your partner or your relationship at work is not wholesome and in a healthy place, that's, you know, inevitably what could be making you feel worse. And could, you know, if it's things like stress, actually be making you sick.
Yeah.
So it's really sort of, you know, how are you looking after yourself? You know, how are you talking to yourself? You know, what's that internal dialogue saying? I'm just getting people to sort of really understand that they need to find a bit of stillness in order to, you know, to be able to listen. So it's really trying to get people to slow down, find the stillness, you know, read into their body and then allow themselves to reset from that. And it can be, you know, take 5 minutes just to breathe every day, or it can be more, you know, what brings you satisfaction? What's that, you know, what is it that really feeds your soul? I mean, my strapline is listen to your body, feed your soul. It's like, listen to what it needs and then feed it. But that doesn't necessarily always need to be around food.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where the self-love comes in. It's like, I love to paint. Well, then make sure you make time to paint, you know. Or I love nature, but I live in the city. Well, make sure you get time to, you know, to feed your soul in many different ways. So it can be a sort of a combination of things, really. And then also, I think, you know, once people start recognising that internal dialogue and really, you know, tapping into that intuition, it can sort of guide them deeper into the element of self-love.
Yeah.
It's like, if they know something's going on in the body, well, how are you going to nurture that? And understand that, you know, every body is different and, you know, it's a journey.
Yeah.
You know, our development of our body is a journey. And especially for women, you know, we get our periods when we're a teenager, and then we lose that, you know, during the menopause. And then before that, we have perimenopause. You know, we're the sex that can create the babies, or, you know, obviously we co-create, but we hold the baby.
Yeah.
So our body changes there.
Oh, my God, changes amazingly.
That our body goes through.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think we need to start really nurturing and accepting versus trying to kind of always look like somebody.
And trying to control and change our bodies to fit a particular
kind of
model.
Yeah.
It's so interesting, isn't it, with, you know, you're talking about living and eating intuitively and self-love being such a also core part of what you do. And I tend to find that self-love and intuition do go hand in hand, mm-hmm. because the more that, you know, when you're practicing self-love, it is so much about listening to yourself. I mean, that is what self-love is. It's listening to yourself and giving yourself what you need. Caroline Miss, I was listening to her. She did an amazing, an amazing kind of podcast or audiobook with Clarissa Pinkola Estes, who wrote
Women Run with the Wolves.
Yeah, and they are
the
two of them are just incredible. And they're talking about intuition. I think it's an entire audio book or audio conversation, because it's not a book, all about intuition. And Caroline Miss, she says that for her, when women say to her, how do I develop my intuition? How do I become more intuitive? And she thinks back to what her grandmother said, which was, you like yourself. Like, in order to be more intuitive, you just, like, the key thing is that you like yourself. You don't have to do any big course, or, you know, you just have to learn to like yourself, or I would say love yourself. Yeah. And then, because it is so hand in hand, I think intuition can feel like this kind of mysterious, nebulous thing.
Yeah, how do I get it?
People say to me, they say, how, you know, do you have any tips on improving your intuition?
Yeah.
And I say, well, for me personally, it's self-love. And it's listening to yourself.
Yeah.
But also in terms of the work that you do, and also the way we approach self-love, so much of it is getting into your body.
Yeah.
And in our Design a Life You Love course, we start with, now I'm going to be a spoiler for people who are about to do it, but it starts with something around stillness. Because, you know, it's just like, before we go, right, this is what I want to do, it's like, stop, get into the stillness, because this is where we need to create from. And do you find, because I think we have very similar audiences and kind of clients who are very busy women, basically,
mm-hmm.
and think that's where women, people in general, get stuck, is because they're moving so fast and always think of the next thing. There's always so much to do that we don't actually give ourselves time to stop and be still and get into our bodies. We're push.
Completely.
You know, there's like the ads. I remember there's an ad on TV about Lemsip superpowers thing, and it was don't miss a meeting again, and it was showing people how if they took a day off being ill in bed, they would end up either losing their job or missing the promotion. So like, knock down the Lemsip and get into work. And I was like, you're fucking insane.
You know, that is exactly, you know, what's making a lot of women and men very, very sick, or much sicker than they should be. I mean, I read a stat the other day, it was like 95% of illnesses are either caused or worsened by stress.
Oh, yeah.
95%. It's like, hey, slow down.
Yeah.
You know, just give yourself that time to be still. And, completely, you know, it's bringing people, like taking them a step back. And that can be not looking at your phone for half a day, not looking at your phone for an evening, just finding a bit of quiet time.
Yeah.
And I find actually with quite a few actually of my clients who have sort of depression or depressive symptoms, what they find actually is coming home and using the hour that they cook as like silent time, really nourishing for them, because it's they're nourishing themselves with the foods that they're creating and putting in their body, but they're also nourishing themselves with that silence after work. It allows them to, I talk about the rooted reset quite a lot, and it's that time to reset from the day into the evening. And it can be simple things like that. You can just
the rooted reset. Oh, that sounds lovely.
Yeah.
I want to bring that into my day. And it is so much, I love that, you know, the word nourishment, that was something that I struggled with for such a long time. I was so neglectful of my well-being. I remember knowing that well-being was an important thing, but it felt so alien to me. I mean, this was years ago, that I just didn't even know where to begin. And I've been on my own long journey with that. But when we work with people who self-love seems completely like, well, hang on a second, like that just isn't, I'm just so far from that at the moment. Nourishment is always like the first step. I can nourish myself. Yeah, I can do that. So, well, let's start with that.
Yeah.
And then we'll work you up towards self-love.
Completely.
Yeah.
If I work with people purely on an intuitive eating and living sort of, you know, process, one-to-ones. I get them, I teach them about making peace with food and experimenting. It's like, get in the kitchen, make a broth. Stand there and watch that broth cook. You know, like, take that time, chew your food. You know, I get them to sit down and actually chew, you know, at least the first 5 mouthfuls 100 times.
I just don't know how you do that.
And it's, you know, but it's a process, isn't it? Because
how do you keep chewing
it? Of course, you're like, oh my God,
there's nothing left.
Stop. But actually, it gets them, you know, you've got to find respect for food. You know, this food is going in, and that's what nourishment is.
Yeah.
In food terms. But actually, nourishment comes in so many other forms.
Yeah.
And that's where self-love comes into it.
Yeah, and feeding your soul.
Nourishment is, you know, getting some fresh air every day, or reaching my 10,000 steps, you know.
Yeah.
Or it can be allowing myself that bit of cake on the weekend that I'm sharing with my girlfriends, and we're laughing and celebrating and... you know, sort of really not allowing that guilt and deprivation to come into your mindset, and in fact, you know, make it more joyful and satisfying. So, yeah, nourishment's a big word, and I think it can be quite overused, certainly in, you know, the world of wellness. It's like, oh, it's all about nourishment. It's like, yeah, but we shouldn't just be thinking about nourishment from food. We should be thinking about nourishment from life.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, I strongly believe that when we take the emphasis off the food...
Yeah.
And this is what I have to teach a lot of my clients. Take the emphasis off the food. Where can you feel nourished and satisfied elsewhere? And I guarantee you will stop thinking about food as much.
Yes.
And you will therefore stop eating as much or eating the wrong things. And you will find that perfect balance of eating in, you know, eating intuitively.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, when we emphasise and really put the focus on one thing, we all know if it's like, if I say don't eat that, that's the only thing you're going to want to eat.
Yeah.
Because if I just said don't eat whatever you want, you know, you wouldn't be depriving yourself of, you know, the biscuit that you want every day. But I guarantee if you started giving yourself that biscuit every day, by day 5, you'd be like, oh, I don't actually fancy that biscuit.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Or
you
absolutely
wouldn't eat 3. When ordinarily it's like, oh my God, it's biscuit time, I'm going to eat 4. And then actually maybe you just wanted half of one, or you just wanted one. You know,
yeah.
So it's really about... You know, tapping in. And...
Because in actual fact, you know, if you were to eat an entire cake, for example, because you're like, fine then, you know, I'll give myself whatever I want. All I want is cake. It's just like, if you were really listening to your body and connect to your body like, after the second piece,
please,
you're probably
stop.
Like, please stop.
Yeah.
I am overloaded with sugar.
Yeah.
I now feel sick.
Yeah.
And it's like, so actually, you know, it's the more you approach it with self-love and listening to your body, it makes sense.
Yeah.
That anyway, it just all balances out and you are giving yourself the nourishing stuff.
That's the question I get asked the most. Well, if I'm eating intuitively, doesn't that mean I can eat burgers and pizzas all week?
Right.
But intuitively, is that what you think is what your
body
needs?
Isn't that interesting that people say, if I was given free rein, then I would eat like a complete lunatic and just fill my body with crap?
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
Of course you wouldn't. I
yeah.
thought, why would you do that?
Yeah.
That would be such punishment.
And so, you know, actually, yeah, if you were intuitive, you would understand that actually you were satisfied from that one bit, but you wouldn't want a second piece.
Yeah.
And that's where it comes in. You know, it's actually, you know, it's a fairly simple process, but I think we've become so programmed to think so differently.
Yeah.
You know, I saw something the other day. It was like, are you, or do you have summer body panic? Like,
oh,
you've been
yes.
on holiday, like you've been on holiday, you've had a few too many, what you know, rosés. Oh, God forbid you've put on a couple of pounds. So you've got to get into the gym and lose it immediately. And I'm thinking, but women are smarter than that. Sorry, but we are. We know that if we overeat and then we come back from holiday and we stop drinking that wine, we're going to lose the weight, because that's naturally the process of calories in and calories out. And also, isn't the process of being on holiday really joyful? Therefore, say what if we've gained a couple of pounds? I certainly wouldn't want anyone to be panicking about it. And I think, you know... It's quite hardwired in us sometimes, and programmed to be
yeah.
like, well, you should be thinking this, and you know, your body's changing and you must get it back to where it was. And no, you know, on
yeah.
a daily basis,
we go up and down. But I remember when my self-esteem and I suppose my self-loathing or satisfaction was so linked to what number came up on the weighing scales. I mean, we don't have... Oh, we do have weighing scales in the house. I don't know how to use them. I never use them.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you what I weigh. But when I was younger, I weighed myself 2 or 3 times a day.
Oh, I did. Yeah.
And it was just like, oh, God, you know, the 2 pounds difference would throw me into a panic and would throw me into self-loathing. Yeah. And it's like, it's not that I've become smarter. It's just, for me, it's most definitely a journey of returning to myself and loving myself and letting go of that comparison with other body types and celebrating my body and being like,
for what it is.
Fine, I'm not going to try and look like her.
Yeah.
She's got a completely different build. I could never be that skinny. Either she's starving herself or she's naturally like that. But
the only body ideal we should be working towards is our own, you know.
And feeling good in it.
Feeling really good in it,
And enjoying it for the way it is and dressing according to your actual shape and size.
And how you feel. Like, I'm pretty curvy and I still wear quite oversized clothes sometimes because, you know what, I think it looks cool. Do you know what I mean? And my boyfriend's like, babe, you've got a waist under there. And I'm like, but this is what I want to wear. And I feel good like this. Yeah. I feel comfortable and I feel sassy. Like, do you know what I mean? So it's, you know, wow, it's what I want to do and I'll do what I want to do. Thank you very much. It's
exactly.
So, you know, and I think it does come with age, but I think definitely a lot of my purpose is to get, you know, if I could write a letter to my younger self, sort of, you know, early 20s, a decade ago, I really want to start getting girls of that age thinking about, you know, accepting their bodies now. Because, you know, it's fine when I'm, you know, in my 30s, but my 20s were pretty horrific, to be fair.
Oh, God,
and if I knew
too.
What I knew now, you know, that's a decade.
And my teens. I mean, absolutely, that was when my self-loathing attached to my body image were at its peak.
Yeah.
It was my all-time obsession.
Yeah.
And it's just like, what a waste. Like, honestly, you could be doing this, you know.
You could be putting your energy so much.
It's nourishing things. That, exactly like you're saying, that nourish my soul and make me happy. But you just didn't get that guidance. And also, I think, for me, I hid it really well. It wasn't like everyone knew I was thinking this stuff. I had diaries full of, like, disgusted at myself, disgusted at my body. But it was hidden in the pages in the outside world as, like, hi, yeah, I'm fine.
Yeah.
So it's actually also being able to, you know, get to the young girls without them even feeling like seeking out that help.
Yeah.
It's like having it really prominent and getting those messages out there.
Understanding, I think, that we've got this just expansive inner wisdom. I don't know if you've read the book by, it's called Pussy by
no, I haven't, but
the
I've
woman
heard
who
owns
the Center of Womanly Arts in New York. And I mean, I cannot wait to meet this woman. I'm gonna make it like my life's task to meet this woman. She sounds nuts, but she's like, you know, you've got to connect to your pussy. You've got to connect to that. And it's, and, you know, pussy being the term that is inner wisdom.
Mm.
Like, this is, you know, this feminine force that you have within you.
Yeah.
That I think as women we've forgotten or we've lost touch with a little bit.
Yeah. And femininity has been so caught up in a particular way of looking that is a way to satisfy a heterosexual male gaze. And so it's like, rather than going in, and that's why, you know, when I think back to my kind of teenager from, you know, 14 upwards, I'm like, I just want to go back and say, I want to really give you a kind of training in womb wisdom, spirituality, like all that. Because I had a strong sixth sense, but that also freaked me out. I didn't know what to do with that. I would love to have given her, so I like to go back and kind of imagine I'm giving her guidance from now and kind of like healing that sort of time. But instead, I was just completely caught up in wanting to look a certain way and wanting to be attractive to men.
Yes.
And feeling that I wasn't and therefore hating myself.
Yeah.
And it's just like, just miserable.
Yeah, it's hard work.
It's
hard work putting all your energy into that.
Yeah.
You know, now I only put it into things that really do nurture me and, you know, like educating myself and learning more about what I do and learning more about my body. And, you know, it's a journey, and it's such a magical journey as well. I think we forget, you know, as I say, during that year of biomedicine, I was like, my body does this.
I know, like totally overwhelmed.
And like, I'd sort of finish school and be absolutely exhausted. So I'd just be like, I mean, it's just so much to take in.
Mind blown.
you know, and now I'm pregnant and my mind is being blown I mean, I think as well, in terms of like intuitive eating, gosh, I've learned more in the last 5 months than I have in the last 32 years. I'm like, okay, my buddy wants really dirty Chinese from the place near the train station. Okay, buddy, we're
going to
go for this.
I was going to say, because in my first trimester when I was pregnant, my body claimed all it wanted was sugary sweets. And I was just like, I'm pretty sure this isn't. But perhaps that was my body was saying it needed a certain kind of food. And my lack of, lack of knowledge of what would give me that went, oh, I know that's sweets. Because it probably needed carbohydrates. And yeah, so I was just like, oh, I think that's sweets, rather than going. Yeah. And actually this brings me to, I wanted you to talk a little bit more about, you divide foods up, don't you, into food when you need, what was it?
And how do you want to feel? So one of the processes of intuitive eating, and I get all of my clients, before they eat anything, is to, you know, ask their bodies, like, hey, how are you feeling today? And it's the first thing you do in the morning, how am I feeling? Like, wake up, take a few deep breaths, how am I feeling? Allow that to determine your day. Are you going to cycle to work? Are you going to get the train? Are you going to walk? Or, you know, and then what do you want to eat? Do you want to eat sweet or savoury? Do you want to feel energised, nourished, comforted? So they're the sort of three.
Yes, that's it. More.
And then, you know, before you eat anything, am I hungry for this? Is this what I want? Am I eating with my head or am I eating with my belly?
Mm.
You know, and there's a thing called the hunger scale. So it's like, well, how hungry are you? And very often we eat when we're not even really that hungry.
Mm-hmm.
Which just is fine grazing here and there, but, you know, it's like, what are you feeding? So that's one of my biggest questions for clients. You know, it's like, do you keep eating this food? So what's going on in there? What are you feeding? Because you're not hungry.
Wow, well, that's going to be opening up. Like,
which very often opens a bit of a can of worms. But that's the point. It's like, let's deal with what's going on in there, you know, and that can be quite a lengthy process sometimes. But actually just getting people to identify that, do you know what, I'm not even hungry.
Wow.
And like, I'm feeding that 4 p.m. slump because I'm so tired by that point in the day. Yeah. So then they start taking a walk at 4 p.m. instead and they stop eating that food that was making them feel, you know, heavy or unwell or bloated. And
so, or that you need water. This is one of my big things. It's like, wow, I need water a lot more because it immediately wakes me up. And it's interesting, having a toddler now, is he will sometimes be getting upset or he'll think he's hungry. He wants more food. I mean, he eats like a monster. But he'll get to a certain point where I was like, you can't possibly be wanting more food. Hang on a minute. Are you thirsty?
Mm-hmm.
Give him water. Suddenly doesn't want more food, or if he's getting like grouchy, you know, obviously you get hangries, but also sometimes he's just thirsty. Mm. And I give him some water and he peps up again.
You can learn a lot from children.
Yeah. I mean, he doesn't know though that what he needs is water necessarily. Yeah. So it's actually, there is that as well. And I would imagine with working with you, there might be like, you know, go, well, I feel really tired at 4 p.m. And so that's why I then go and eat a cake. And it helps for a moment and then I crash. How about you try having a pint of water? Oh, I hadn't thought that might be what was lacking. Mm. So that's where it's the intuition is telling me I need something, but old habits or my kind of the limits of my current education around food have said, oh, I know, people eat chocolate then when they're hungry.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, again, TV ads used to tell us that.
Yeah.
So I have a, back in the day, marathon bar. That makes me sound really old. It's now Snickers. But that's what it was related to. Mm-hmm. It was like, have a marathon bar and run a marathon. Yeah. It's like, oh, yeah, that will give me energy.
Yeah.
And so it's we're being told that. So it's kind of probably also undoing a lot of our learning from family, from our culture, from our, you know, our upbringing and media and all the rest of it.
Treats. Oh, if you're a good girl, you get a treat.
Yeah.
And also breakfast, lunch, dinner, snack. I mean, okay, as a nutritionist, if you have insufficient blood sugar balance, then I will absolutely get you eating breakfast, lunch and dinner and a couple of snacks in the day, because keeping your blood sugar stable is what's going to make you feel well.
Mm-hmm.
But for the general healthy, you know, member of society, well, who told you that you had to eat a breakfast, lunch, dinner and a snack at 4 p.m? You know, when we take away that, it's like, well, eat when you're hungry.
Mm.
I got up this morning, I had porridge. And then before I met you, I had half a sandwich. And I also had some popcorn in the car. That was before 11:30. Because I'm particularly hungry today.
Yeah.
Yesterday, I had my breakfast and I didn't even get hungry again until 3 o'clock. And it was only when I was like, oh God, I probably need to eat now. You know, and that's, I eat very intuitively, obviously. I've, you know, trained in this. But I don't necessarily eat that sort of standard, at standard meal times, because I sort of let my body just choose when it's hungry. Sometimes it means a double breakfast. Sometimes it doesn't mean having dinner, but, you know, or I'll have something really light, like a bone broth or some soup. These are all things that are programmed. And yeah, so I in terms of sort of, you know, how do you want your body to feel from food, it was energized, nourished and comforted. So energized is, you know, clearly, you know, sprightly. So
ready to go.
And crisp, really sort of vibrant tastes. Nourish might be something like a really warm, spicy dal or soups. And then comforted is probably things like a brownie or, you know,
cake,
biscuits. But sometimes comforted can be something like, you know, a fish pie. You know, like, what brings back some of those memories.
Shepherd's pie, fish pie.
So, you know, a lot of the recipes that are on my site are sort of healthier versions of. I don't necessarily cut out food groups.
Yes, I was going to say. Sugar?
Sugar I do, but occasionally, you know, I'm partial to having a bit of normal sugar in my cake. You know, that's fine.
Dairy,
I will eat cheese. I'm sort of one of those people that, you know, if I'm going to eat meat, cheese, any sort of animal product, it will be really good quality. And I'd rather have much less of it, but know that I'm getting really good, high standard. So we will probably have chicken once every couple of weeks, once a week, and I'll then make a bone broth with the bones, and I boil them twice. Don't forget the second time. Add a bit of seaweed. People always think, oh, I've boiled my bones. I'm like, great, but you know, you can do it twice. And yeah, so, you know, we'll have, you know, fish once or twice a week. We'll have a bit of cheese. Generally, we, you know, a lot of plants, only because I, you know, that's what my body thrives on. But yeah, there's sort of, you know, there's no rule. We go for pizza. We go and eat burgers. If we go to a friend's house, we'll eat whatever they're serving us. And we enjoy it. And that's, I think, you know.
Unless you've got an actual allergy. I've got a lot of friends who will throw up if they eat wheat. Like, they're proper celiac.
Absolutely. And again, you know, as a nutritionist, solely as a nutritionist, if you're coming to me with something like PCOS, polycystic ovarian syndrome, I probably will look at taking gluten out of your diet to see if that supports your symptoms. But again, you know, I do believe that the intuition comes in there because you will start to feel better. Therefore, intuitively, you know that your body does better without that substance. So I think, you know, whereas, you know, a lot of people say, well, I do contradict myself sometimes if I'm trying to help someone and they're a disease or something that they're working with in the body. But the you know, the idea of intuitive eating always plays a massive part in it. Because, you know, intuitively we know what's not working for our body. You know, so
I love it. So finally, I think just a little bit more about that wisdom, that feminine wisdom, you know, getting into that womb wisdom. And like you're saying, you know, that book Pussy, and just about really getting into our feminine power through our body. What are some of your kind of favourite learnings for yourself around that?
You know, it was looking in the mirror and training myself to, you know, like reframing, right? Positive to negative. So taking that part of your body that you really dislike and talking to it. You look great today, babe. You know, you look great in those shoes. Like, really starting to, and it's, you know, when I say to my clients, I want you to look in the mirror naked or do your affirmations in the mirror naked. And they're like, God, she's going off on one again. Really important, really important, you know, start connecting and things like that. You know, overcoming fear sometimes is one of the most beautiful things you can do for yourself, especially when it's, you know, fear that you have with yourself.
Leaning into the discomfort and the resistance.
You know, writing a love letter to yourself or, you know, your younger self. And, you know, really just, I think, tuning into what makes you feel feminine. For many people, it's being in the kitchen. For some, it's getting on a motorbike and feeling empowered, you know. So really tapping into it, that sort of, you know, self-love empowerment, what makes you feel empowered as a woman, and tapping into that a lot more. And I think educating yourself as well, you know, ask questions. What's in my food? You know, who made my clothes? You know, to really, that's empowerment. Knowledge is power, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I definitely think part of my journey was, I mean, you're saying, I trained in this. I'm actually about to go and train to be a doula.
Are you?
Because now I'm pregnant. I'm like, I'd like to know more about that, please. My boyfriend.
Will you stop with
my boyfriend used to discourage it. And now he realizes that it nurtures me in such a way. I'm like, I just love learning. So for me, that's been a massive part of my process. It's like learning more about my body in every way I can, whether that's a course, whether that's, you know, trying a new technique of yoga, whether that's, I mean, I remember when I, you know, worked on a retreat and they were doing chanting.
And I love chanting.
Was really like, oh my God, like, I feel so out of my comfort zone.
Yeah.
And then the next year I was doing some cooking for the same retreat and I was, I was out there, voice proud. And that for me was like, oh my God, you know, one for the journal.
Finding
look
your
how
voice.
Far I've come in a year. And actually what was interesting about that was that, you know, in that year, I very much was about finding my voice.
Yeah.
I was really scared of speaking my truth and speaking my knowledge for a long time.
Yeah.
And, I mean, this year in particular, it was kind of up on the vision board of, like, you've got to get there. And
yes,
how are you going to get there?
I saw you post that on Instagram about you at Stylist Live.
Yeah, and it was like, I felt so comfortable doing it.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've educated myself enough over that course of time to, you know, to get myself there, and knowledge really is power. So, you know, whatever you can do, learn more about your body, or if there's something you feel that needs, you know, an answer, find that answer. You know, the more that you can, you know, understand yourself, I think the more you're going to understand self-love, and then the more you're going to be able to use your intuition.
Absolutely. So, yeah, because it does sound like so much of your journey, the learning and understanding each time helps you fall even more deeply in love with yourself as a human being, as a body, as a, you know, these many, as a healer, as a, you know, nutrition, all these many, as a teacher, helper, you know, all these things.
Completely.
Amazing. Oh, thank you so much. This has been a really nourishing conversation. Oh, delicious. Is there anything else you would like the listeners to hear about how to get in touch with you and what you've got coming up?
So I do, so I do an intuitive eating and living online program.
Yeah.
The next one's going to start in January. It's a 6-week course. You get a one-to-one with me, and then it's a live webinar every week for 6 weeks. We basically break down the principles of intuitive eating. And there's a lot of self-love education in there as well.
And how, just quick question on that, how will someone know if it's a course for them? Is it someone who's, you know, struggling with, what would you say people might
also
be struggling with?
People who are, you know, people who have struggled with body image in the past.
Yeah.
I get women who are just, you know,
just curious.
Just really curious. I get a lot of sort of new mums who maybe their bodies change and they want to learn to accept it. All sorts really. And I actually on the website, on the page, it's sort of, this is for you if, and I give quite a few examples because it really is,
it's really,
you know,
broad.
It's quite a broad subject. And then head to rootedlondon.com and there's info on how to book me as a nutritionist or a life coach. And obviously doing intuitive eating and living one-to-ones as well. And events and things that I'll be doing next year. I think I'm going to do a guide to manifesting event early January.
Oh, nice.
I did it last month and it was the busiest event that I've done. I thought this would be a good one for Jan.
How interesting. Oh, we're going to have to do another podcast on that.
Yeah. So that's affirmations, vision boards,
how to
sort of start dreaming your world into being. And that's really important because it's all very well sort of being like, right, I want to be intuitive.
Yeah.
And it's like, so, but then how do we push further into sort of living this life that we want to live?
Yeah.
So head there. And...
Oh, fantastic. Oh, that sounds amazing. Yeah, wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Project Love podcast. We really hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you did, then come and subscribe on iTunes and we'll deliver each new episode straight to your device. And we would love it if you would leave us a review to help us spread the love far and wide. And if you can't think of anything to write, then just tap 5 stars and say, best podcast ever. Thank you.